Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for tuning in and letting me in your ear once again. That song you just heard at the top of the program was The Wild Dog by Joe Benuti's Blue Four. And this episode, we feature the music and a little bit about the lives of Joe Benuti and Eddie Lang, sort of the precursor to Capelli and Reinhardt. Joe Benuti on violin and Eddie Lang on guitar. Great duo, and we'll be listening to a lot of their music here on this episode of the Jazz Treasury. The Wild Dog was recorded in New York City in 1930, and Joe Venuti's Blue Four includes Pete Pomigilio on baritone saxophone, Joe Venuti on violin, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Eddie Lang on guitar. No drums here, no bass, just those four gentlemen together making that beautiful sound. The Wild Dog. Now, the sound of Venuti and Lang, effervescent as a morning after seltzer, the music of Joe Benuti and Eddie Lang evokes the carefree spirit of the 1920s in America, the era of roadsters and hip flasks, bobbed hair flappers and youths in raccoon coats. Soon, the parents of these golden girls and boys would be staring in horror at the headlines in the Wall Street Journal. But for a while, it was the best of times, and the music of Joe, Eddie, and their friends was its exuberant soundtrack. Eddie Lang and Joe Benuti were both members of an interesting but little-researched community within the world of early 20th century American music. First-generation Italian-Americans, Lang was born Salvatore Massaro in Philadelphia on October 25, 1902, and Giuseppe Venuti is believed to have been born in the same city on September 16, 1903, although he would tell some people that he had emerged while his parents were on board the ship that brought them from Italy to the United States, or even that he had been born in the old country. The Italian-American community was an intensely musical one. Its star players, especially the mandolinists, were making records in the New World in the earliest years of the century. Lang's father was an instrument maker and guitarist who taught his son not only guitar, but also violin and banjo. As for Benuti, everybody in my family played music, he told the writer Gene Lees. String instruments mainly, violin, cello, mandolin, it was just taken for granted. When I started to study fiddle seriously, I had some very good teachers. I even put in 6 years in a conservatory. All right, let's move on to another track. Let's listen to the track called Bullfrog Moan. Now, Bullfrog Moan was recorded in 1929 in New York City, and it's Lonnie Johnson and Blind Willie Dunn. And this features just two people, Lonnie Johnson and Eddie Lang, both on guitar. Let's listen to Bullfrog Moan on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. That was Bullfrog Moon, Lonnie Johnson, and Eddie Lang on guitars. Here, Lang and Lonnie Johnson turn a solemn blues into an amusing descriptive piece. Lang emits rumbling bass figures that suggest not just the croaking of a frog, but his squelchy leaps, while Johnson swings to the very limits of the march-like tempo. In most of their duets, Johnson takes a conventional lead role, while Lang seconds with chords or bass string phrases. But here, the two parts are so close and independent that the performance is a true duet. In 1924, both Joe and Eddie were based in New York, where Joe played with Gene Goldkettle's orchestra and Eddie with a novelty band called the Mound City Blue Blowers, fronted by Red McKenzie, playing comb and paper. In 1926, Lang joined Venuti in the Goldkette ranks, but by then, both men were rising fast to the top rank of New York's session stars. Lang recorded with Red Nichols, Five Pennies, while both men made great appearances with bandleader Roger Wolf Kahn. And their recording log, as a duet, was opened with the coupling of Stringing the Blues with Black and Blue Bottom. Here's a little off-the-record piece. Joe Venuti was one of the most dedicated of jazz jokers. One time, he phoned all 36 tuba players in the Hollywood local of the AFM, I think that's the American Federation of Musicians, telling them to meet him for a job at the corner of Sunset and Vine. He gleefully viewed the ensuing melee from a hotel window. "The joke was on me, though," he said. He told the writer, Gene Lees, "They took me to the union and I had to pay $10 a man." Not so funny, doing that to a bunch of tuba players. Oh, that would be interesting if they all brought their tubas with them, wouldn't it? In 1928, Lang, in particular, had a packed diary. He recorded with the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, blues singers Texas Alexander, Victoria Spivey and Gladys Bentley, and crooners Seeger Ellis and Ruth Etting, as well as creating a few magnificent guitar duets with bluesman Lonnie Johnson. And we heard one of those. Let's move on to the track, please. Let's go on to Beale Street Blues, as recorded New York City once again, 1931. And a larger band here includes Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang. This is the band called Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, and the All-Star Orchestra, featuring Charlie Teagarden on trumpet, Jack Teagarden on trombone and vocal, Benny Goodman here on clarinet, Joe Venuti on violin, Frank Signorelli on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, Ward Lay on bass, and Neil Marshall on drums. Let's listen to Beale Street Blues on the Jazz Treasury.
Except one or two who never drink that booze, and the blind man on the corner who sings his Beale Street blues. Well, I'd rather be there than any place I know. Oh, well, I'd rather be there than any place I know. New York might be all right, but Beale Street's paved with gold. I said it's paved with gold. I was born down in Texas, raised in Tennessee. Oh, I was born in Texas, raised in Tennessee. And I ain't gonna let no one woman make a fat mouth out of me. I said a fat mouth out of me.
Listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
All right, that was Beale Street Blues, New York City, 1931. The four sides recorded in October 1931 under the banner of Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, and their all-star orchestra achieve, as jazz historian Dan Morgenstern has written, some kind of near perfection of collective empathy. One has to only look at the lineup to see why. No band featuring Benny Goodman and Jack Teagarden, not forgetting Jack's often underrated brother, trumpeter Charlie, is likely to be dull. Here, we are treated not only to exciting moments of Lang and swaggering Goodman solo, but also to the cowboy charm of Jack Teagarden's blues singing. And we had an earlier episode here in the Jazz Treasury featuring Jack Teagarden. Take a look at that. Really worth seeing, worth listening to. Pretty amazing, and I think highly unrecognized. During 1929, Joe and Eddie both played with Paul Whiteman's orchestra. Lang continued to grace the recordings of Bix and Trumbauer, as well as playing sessions with King Oliver, Louis Armstrong, and Bessie Smith. I'm wild about that thing. His greatest champion at this time, however, was Bing Crosby, who thought the world of him and made a point of employing him as guitarist on his recordings. In addition to this relatively high-profile work, Venuti and Lang, together and separately, logged anonymous appearances in dozens of dance band recordings commissioned by studio fixers such as Fred Rich. Early in 1933, Eddie Lang went into hospital to have his tonsils removed. Complications set in, and he died on March 26, at the age of just 30. In his short lifetime, he had changed the direction of jazz guitar. Indeed, he had actually given it a direction. Before him, the stringed instrument in the orchestral rhythm section was the banjo. The strength, flexibility, and resonance of Lang's playing, clarified on records by the electric microphones that were introduced in the mid-1920s, pointed a way forward for the guitar in jazz, and relegated the banjo, apparently forever, to Dixieland and novelty bands. Next track we're going to listen to is Four String Joe, and this is recorded in New York City, 1927, featuring Joe Venuti's Blue Four, with Don Merry on clarinet and baritone sax, Joe Venuti on violin, Frank Signorelli on piano, and Eddie Lang on guitar. 1927, New York City. Let's listen to Four String Joe on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. After Eddie Lang's death, Venuti filled his place in his recording units with Dick McDonoghue or Frank Victor. Both were excellent rhythm players, and McDonoghue was an ensemble soloist, but neither possessed Lang's gift of ecstatic melody. Not that there were many small group sessions left from the mid-1930s. Joe deserted the chamber jazz settings that had elicited so much great music, and for the best part of a decade, fronted a large swing band. Before that, however, he visited Europe. In the summer of 1934, accompanied by Victor, he played several engagements in Britain, where many of the Venuti Lang records had been issued and studied by the natives. Listen, for example, to violinist Cyril Hellier and guitarist George Elliott playing Swing As It Comes and several other tunes on a 1937 date, Bert Fearman's Quintuplets of Swing. On the 20th of September, Venuti recorded four tunes with the English musicians for the local Regal Xylophone label. Time for another track. Let's move on to A Mug of Ale. That sounds pretty good right now, actually. Okay, let's listen to A Mug of Ale, and once again featuring Joe Venuti's Blue Four, recorded in New York City, 1927. But this time, Adrian Rollini plays the bass saxophone and a hot fountain pen. What? All right, let's listen to A Mug of Ale, recorded in New York City, 1927, once again featuring Joe Venuti's Blue Four. But here we have a little novelty. We have Adrian Rollini playing the bass saxophone and a hot fountain pen. Joe Venuti on violin, Arthur Schutt on piano, and Eddie Lang on guitar. Let's listen to A Mug of Ale. Now in 1934, Joe made a new friend. I was stopped on the street, recalled guitarist Tony Romano, by a man who looked like a mafioso and had a voice to match. He saw the large guitar case and my new Gibson Super 400. He opened it up and started playing a C chord and an F chord. Thinking this was a terrible musician and probably dangerous, I closed my guitar case and left for a radio date. 3 years later, the two men met again on a Hollywood film set, played together for the rest of the day and night, and became firm friends. And during the late 1930s and early 1940s, Joe's big band made a few undistinguished or ephemeral records, such as 1939's Yodelin' Jive with Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, and at one time he employed the young Kay Starr as his vocalist. He gave up the band when he was called up for Army service in World War II. On his release, returned to the shifting life of the recording and radio studios, often working with his former partner's great admirer, Bing Crosby. By the 1950s, however, he was a has-been in terms of record sales and was spending less time, in Eddie Condon's phrase, flatting his fifths than drinking them. His health suffered, his marriage broke up, and he was reduced to playing in obscure lounges. In 1967, Joe's career entered a decade-long Indian summer when he was invited to the annual jazz party hosted by the wealthy Colorado jazz fancier Dick Gibson. No longer the slim young man of early photographs, jazz essayist Whitney Balliet memorably described him as a great, squat, square, bustling haystack of a man. He still played like someone half his age. Zoot Sims and other experienced musicians were amazed at his evergreen facility. Joe's return to the world stage of jazz begins at this point, hastened by a well-received appearance at the 1968 Newport Jazz Festival and further bookings at the Gibson Jazz Parties. Although he was diagnosed as suffering from cancer in 1970, he continued working regularly at top-class jazz rooms in New York. He died on August 14, 1978, just as he was about to open at the Holiday Inn in Chicago. Joe Venuti, what a long career. All right, let's finish up this episode of the Jazz Treasury. And we're going to finish it up in a little vocal here with the Boswell Sisters. A track called It's the Girl, recorded New York City, 1931. And the Boswell Sisters, Manny Klein on trumpet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet and alto, Joe Venuti on violin, Arthur Schutt on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, Joe Tarto on bass, Stan King on drums, Martha, Connie, and Helavita Boswell do the vocals. Let's listen to It's the Girl on the Jazz Treasury.
It's not the canoe. It isn't the river or sky that all blue. It isn't the love dreams that bring joy to you. It's the girl. Oh, it's the girl. It isn't the Brooklyn that you always wander to. It isn't the mountain flower or the morning dew. It isn't the love nest that brings love to you. It's the girl that makes you happy and it's the girl that makes you blue.
You often doubt them. What a lonely world would be without them.
It isn't the song words, the song that they sing. It isn't the sunshine that makes you like spring. So what is this magic that makes all the thing? It's the girl. Oh, it's the girl.
Some folks need atmosphere when they're making love. They say, oh, Mother Nature makes love grand. Still lovers will complain that they need the shore. If you're a Romeo, you'll understand.
It isn't the paddle, it's not the canoe. It isn't the river or skies that are blue. It isn't the love dreams that bring joy to you.
Wherever you go, whatever you do,
it's the girl, it isn't a brooch that you wanted to do. It isn't the mound and the flowers all the morning dew. It isn't the love nest that brings love to you. It's a girl. It's a girl.
Venuti and Lang had a regular studio commitment in the early 1930s, accompanying that remarkable trio from New Orleans, the Boswell Sisters. It's the Girl features the nonchalant tempo changing that was one of their trademarks, punctuated here by a typical Venuti-Lang exchange and Lang's delectable accompaniment to Connie Boswell in her slow and sultry solo passages. The vigorous final choruses are led by trumpeter Manny Klein and Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet. Just a couple of things to listen for if you're interested into exploring a little bit more about Joe Venuti or Eddie Lang. For a period late in the 1920s and early 1930s, Venuti and Lang were rarely out of the studio, and Venuti's long career in particular yielded many worthwhile sides, such as Work Ox Blues, 1928, Church Street Sobbin' Blues, 1928, Walkin' the Dog, in 1929, Hell's Bells and Hallelujah in 1934, and S. Wonderful in 1977. Okay, that's it for this edition of the Jazz Treasury. Much thanks to the publication of Marshall Cavendish Leisure Collection, Jazz Greats, and for the background music supplied by Benny Green, doing Folks on the Hill. And next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to feature Big Band Voices. A great singer born on the wings of a high-flying big band is one of the quintessential images and most enthralling sounds of American music. Whether it's Frank Sinatra with Tommy Dorsey, Peggy Lee with Benny Goodman, or Jimmy Rushing with Count Basie. So next time on the Jazz Treasury, we go to Big Band Voices. And please go to our Facebook page, give us a like, check it out, make some comments, and don't forget to tell your relatives, your friends about our podcast on iTunes. Give us a like, give us a rating, give us a review, and spread the word of jazz. Once again, thanks for listening to the Jazz Treasury. Next time, Big Band Vocals. Until that time, enjoy the jazz.